This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is Tom Ryan, president of Truterra. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by Bayer and their vision of health for all, hunger for none. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with Truterra's Tom Ryan next. As a leader in the industry, we at Bayer have the opportunity and responsibility to help address the challenges around sustainability and ensure that we can all thrive while using our planet's resources in a sustainable way. Sustainability is an integral part of our operations, and we believe that farmers and agriculture can be a part of the solution to many of the planet's biggest challenges. Whether that's helping growers utilize new technologies to get more out of their land or incentivizing carbon-smart farming practices such as strip or no-till and planting cover crops, we're committed to innovate, grow, and partner with farmers to help shape what's possible and further our vision of health for all, hunger for none. For more on Bayer's sustainability efforts, visit www.bayer.com/en/US/United States Sustainability. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. Sustainability is a key word in debating agriculture's future and balancing the goal of producing enough food, fiber, and fuel for a growing world population, as well as protecting our environment. Tom Ryan, president of Truterra, says there are misconceptions that must be resolved in the debate over sustainability.
The one is that sustainability or conservation has to come with a negative impact on yield or productivity. And that is not the case, you know, and that's why we focus on that agronomic principle first. You know, how do we make use the ag research, the history that we have developed as industry leaders in the core agronomy space that is a core to our being, and help growers manage the practices in a way that actually are productivity or yield additive, not detractors. Ironically enough, I was having a conversation right before this with my brother who's in the planter this morning, and we adopted vertical tillage on our farm this last fall, which is a big step. It's a hard step to make. You know, you're changing the practices. As we were talking through, you know, we're planting into the best seed bed that we've ever had. You know, his comments to me were like, yep, I'm sold. Like, I can see it. So we have to find opportunities to give farmers that same kind of experience and recognize that no two farmers are in the same position, right? And that's one thing that at Truterra we really focus on is understanding that every grower is at a different spot on their sustainability journey. And we have to recognize that and create a suite of solutions that allow us to meet them where they're at on that journey. And then together with our ag retailers, build a plan on how we get them to where they want to go. And then surround that with the expertise, you know, the incentives and the agronomic balance that it takes to achieve it.
I think it should be suggested here as we begin this conversation about where we're going, of perhaps where we've been, because there are a number of acres in the U.S. that are already under sustainable production. Farmers have adopted no-till. They've adopted other practices and cover crops long before there might have been a revenue stream that could be tied to it. So how has sustainability grown in significance for domestic and for global customers of agriculture?
I think we're probably at a once-in-a-generation opportunity here. When you look at, you know, over 4,000 companies globally that have made either a science-based target or a net zero commitment. At the same time, you've seen tremendous support from the administration in the form of IRA funding related to conservation, and also the climate smart projects and grants that the secretary has led. You've got all this upswell of opportunity that really does two things. One, it helps create a path for new adoption of sustainable or conservation practices, right? And that's where the focus has really heavily been put early on. How do we drive new change? But at the same time, I want to make dang sure as an industry that we don't leave the people behind that have proactively made these practice changes and adopted conservation. And so we spend unequal or balanced time thinking about how we create opportunities for those producers as well. And quite honestly, they're positioned very well for the, you know, the generation of climate smart commodities or value added supply chain benefit type programs, meaning, you know, how do we quantify the value that comes from the way that they're growing their crop today and connect it to a market with a downstream food or CPG company that's looking to transform the way that their products are created so that that farmer can really be producing a, not a commodity, but a value added commodity that has benefits that transfer all the way through the supply chain into that finished good. And that's what the industry needs to pivot to and, you know, really effectively create a balance of both. How do we help those that are new on their journey and fuel that fire while also creating new market opportunities for the growers that have made the commitment and the transition previously? And at Truterra, that's something we focus and take a lot of pride in as we work with farmers to connect those benefits to the downstream food and CPG companies that we work with on a daily basis.
All right. Secretary Vilsack is talking about developing new revenue streams, and he's obviously mentioned small and medium-sized farmers in developing this revenue, looking for opportunities for them. But how viable are these revenue streams? What are the metrics that will yield revenue for the producer?
Yeah, one of the things that at Truterra we're really focusing on is the consolidation of all market opportunities to create the most compelling offer to that farmer that drives the change of practice. If we talk about just the carbon market alone, you talk about a $15 to $20 an acre payment, versus what we're really asking that farmer to do here, which is fundamentally change the way that they've farmed, likely for generations, and anywhere from a $10 to $20 incentive, even at these commodity prices, like it doesn't take much to erode that value to really result in a not super attractive value proposition. So what we're seeing for adoption today is I think farmers that we're going to, they're already on that journey. They're already transitioning. What it's going to take to drive the amount of practice change and engagement that we're after as an industry is it's going to take a more compelling offer. And so what we're really focusing on is consolidating all the different opportunities, both private and public sector funding. So private sector like carbon markets, like Scope 3 type projects funded by some of our downstream customers, pairing that with the public sector funding, whether it's USDA or NRCS type programs like EQIP, CSP, whether it's watershed type programs to create the most compelling, highest value offer for the farmer that makes it attractive and balances the risk versus reward that we're asking them to take on by doing or adopting these practices. So that to me is the big opportunity here. There's a lot of great activity happening, some big, some small, some private, some public, but for it really to work well, it's going to take partnerships and collaboration, bringing all those opportunities together for all farmers, big or small, to capitalize on that gets them leaning into the conservation practice adoption and ultimately changing the way that they farm.
Let's zero in on the USDA funding for climate smart commodities. How is their investment helping to create traction and create real data as for results for future programs?
Yeah, specifically with our engagement, with our, Climate Smart program, which, you know, our Climate Smart, the SMART stands for Scaling Mechanisms for Agriculture's Regenerative Transformation. So, you know, our project is really focused. It's not on building something new. We're already successful in the market with driving the conservation practice adoption. But what this partnership with the USDA really does for Truterra is it drives the scalability. We're going to get to where we were going to get to, but we're going to do it about half the time. And so it further extends our conservation delivery system to support farmers' transition to climate smart and sustainable practices. And it does that through a couple of really fundamental things. First, it allows us to create a more robust product or suite of solutions for the grower. It allows us to create opportunities for historically underserved farmers and allow us to extend our products and solutions across a national footprint. It allows us to build out not only in quantity but also capability the level of conservation or technical service that lives in our retail network, there's just a shortage. And we have to fill that gap of talent because, you know, as a farmer's making these transitions, they need that trusted advisor to be standing right next to them, helping them with those tough decisions. You know, we've got a huge network of ag retailers and certified crop advisors today. You know, we need to tap into that and build that muscle of conservation agronomy into the network that exists today. So all in all, the partnership that we have with the USDA is really about how do we drive the scale or reach of our programming and opportunities to, you know, more than 20,000 farmers targeting more than 7 million acres and ultimately, you know, generating over or close to 7 million metric tons of carbon sequestered from the atmosphere. Just to put that into perspective, that's about the equivalent of 1.5 million cars for 1 year that'll be driven by the success of the program throughout the 5 years that we're engaged with the USDA on it.
Moving ahead, where's the money? If I look at Washington, $31 trillion in debt, and we're talking about how do we cut spending as opposed to spend more. If there's going to be incentives, there's going to have to be a source for the pot of that revenue. So for the people who are willing to invest here, what are the things that they want?
Farmers don't want to have to rely on programs or subsidies to be successful or profitable. Now, it's a huge component of the overall economic formula of a farm, right? You know, including safety nets like crop insurance, you know, and those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, we have to think about this holistically, right? And to me, it starts with that agronomic piece, right? Which is how do we drive effective and efficient productivity and ROI, right? So by having and adopting practices that build on the overall health of the soil, that leads to better water holding capacity. It leads to better soil structure. It leads to better yield. And at the same time, through the work that Truterra does with its farmers, through our ag retailers, if we can become more efficient in the utilization of nutrients and fertilizer to where we have closer to the needs or demand cycle of the plant, to where we're becoming more efficient with the product we're applying, that allows us to get more impact out of the inputs that we're putting on. We're driving increased yield and ROI. We're reducing any waste that is in the value chain by becoming more efficient. And then you connect, you know, the market opportunities that exist, whether it's in what we call the 4F, you know, and that's renewable fuel, feed, food, and fiber, right? So if we want to really get focused in on sustainable aviation fuel, for example, well, we have to have the systems in place at Truterra that allow us to quantify the practices that a grower has and really establish a benchmark. And whether that's our using our Truterra sustainability tool or whether that's generating a CI score to really set that benchmark for the farmer to say, here's where you're at. Call it like a farm FICO score, right? And then as they make changes or they adopt practices, some big, you know, all the way going to cover crops and no-till, some could be small, like, you know, hey, I'm going to add a nitrogen stabilizer in this year. All these things have an impact, and we have to be able to capture that, quantify it, and then be able to measure that output back to connect it to the commodity that they're growing, which unlocks the potential for the sustainable food, fuel, feed, and fiber markets that are emerging and evolving as we go. So I think it's a little bit of everything, Jeff. I mean, it's not just programs. It's not just conservation funding. It's really around how we become more efficient and effective as farmers to drive, you know, a self-sustaining ecosystem of agricultural production.
There was a period of time that I was afraid this new farm bill would be loaded with mandates regarding sustainability or a shift in programs with sustainability as a key. At some point, this discussion is going to come up. From the farmer aspect, I think they would suggest that they don't want mandates and they do want flexibility.
Related to the farm bill, we're really focusing on a couple things, right? The first is conservation and climate, right? So how can we work with the USDA to expand the delivery system of conservation programming across the U.S.? You know, it's if you look at the 125 million acres that they've got targeted with the IRA conservation funding, it's just a math equation, right? There's just not enough bodies to connect to the farmers to drive that. And so we really want to work with the NRCS and USDA to really draft alongside the great work that they do today to expand the access through our advisors of ag retailers and their certified crop advisors to provide that technical service assistance that is required to implement those conservation funds. You know, and continuing to find ways to streamline that process. You know, I've done 10 years of EQIP and CSP in our farm. Like, there's a lot of lift that has to go on from a farmer's perspective, and working to find ways to streamline that, whether it's through the collection of data or how we get efficient on you know, not only the application process, but also the record keeping and audit process as well. So continuing to work together collaboratively, and you've seen probably some of the announcements around the MOU that Truterra has with the USDA and then some of the legislative action that's happened as recently as this week to move really towards expanding that conservation delivery system. So that's one huge focus. And then the second one is just around ag research. We need to continue to work together to find ways to answer the questions that are commonly asked by farmers. It could be around how do we leverage both the private and public sector funding around agricultural research to really focus specifically on conservation practices and how to make sure we're realizing the plus side of the yield curve versus the potential downfalls of the yield curve if you do it wrong, right? You know, and then secondarily, having some consistency across, you know, the standards or regulations that are part of nutrient management plans. I'll give you an example. I farm in Springfield, Minnesota with my brother and my dad. We live an hour from South Dakota, we live an hour from Iowa, but we live in Minnesota, right? So my nutrient management standards are dictated based on Minnesota land-grant university recommendations. An hour to the south, they are completely different, and an hour to the west, they are completely different. And so that creates a lot of complexity as we have technical service providers, ag retailers in our Truterra network that cross those boundaries, and that makes it hard to scale the delivery of those. And also as a producer, it makes it hard to go, well, why are they held to a different set of rules, you know, 50 miles south of where I am than I am? And so we have to streamline and just have an open, honest dialogue on how do we do better here and get more consistent, which allows us to drive more commitment and adoption with farmers.
Let's talk about partnerships, because you're working with CoBank in regard to carbon dioxide removal, and you're also partnering and working with American Farmland Trust and others. What's key about these two relationships, and what are others that are bringing people to the table?
Specifically, a great partnership with CoBank. Obviously, we have a deep connection and relationship, and this is two great egg companies coming together to mutually meet the commitments and objectives that they have as it pertains to sustainability. By the way, that's what Truterra does with a wide range of food, CPG, and just commercial organizations on a global scale. So, you know, we really take a lot of pride in being able to connect all the things that we've just got done talking about on how we drive grower engagement and you know, their adoption, how we work with ag retail as Truterra to you know, put that trusted advisor next to that grower that's making those changes. But then what we do with that is we play the role of Truterra in between of connecting all those benefits to the downstream commitments that these companies have made to help them achieve their sustainability goals or targets that they've adopted.
I feel like there's a lot more to come on this area of sustainability, but here we are at the edge of the storm. Tom, what's your message to Washington, to the legislators that are going to craft a new farm bill, to the bureaucracy that will help to guide and to implement new laws and existing laws? What should Washington know, and from your perspective, what should they do?
Partnership and collaboration is key here, and to keep the farmer at the forefront of their mind or their thought process. You know, at Truterra, we pride in positioning ourselves as the farmer-driven sustainability program. And what that really means is every decision we make, we start with the farmer at the center of it. And we're able to do that because we're by farmers for farmers. Two-thirds of our team is active or, you know, still has family that is operating a farm today. And that gives us a perspective. And I think that's important as, you know, legislators think about how do we drive, like, everybody's got good intentions here. But keeping that farmer at the forefront and saying, does this make sense to a farmer? Is this something that they would see as easy to adopt, or would they see this as, you know, not attractive because of the rules, regulations, or complexity that we've just built around it? And so, you know, the best way to do that is to collaborate. Collaborate with organizations like Truterra. Collaborate with the farm organizations that exist and to serve this purpose, to simplify how we achieve the desired outcome that we're after here.
Well, it's obvious that there are companies that really want to have a positive sustainability story in their relationship with their customer. And those companies are willing to invest in means that would bring that to verification. At some point, it appears to me that there has got to be a verification that keeps this from being snake oil, of where you can say that by this program, with this retailer, with these farmers, and this circumstance, we were able to yield this result, and it's worth so much. Are we there yet?
You know, the industry continues to evolve around the regulations related to greenhouse gas accounting. As Truterra, I can tell you that we are absolutely there. Can I speak on behalf of every other company similar? I can't do that. Having that farmer-centric mindset at Truterra that we're going to do what's best for the farmer and connect those to the downstream companies in a way that everybody has confidence that these were generated with, you know, the agronomic and economic priority and positioning, and that they're sound and validated based against the rules that exist today and will continue as those rules continue to evolve. We can without a doubt say that's the system that we operate under today at Truterra. So,
well, Tom Ryan, I certainly have tremendous respect for your vision and for trying to connect the dots in this area of sustainability, and tremendous respect for your heritage of farming here in the U.S. Thank you for taking time to be with us and to talk about this issue on this edition of Open Mic. Tom, it's Open Mic, and today you've got the last word.
You know, Jeff, thanks for having me today. And just to recap, you know, Truterra really exists to create new market opportunities for farmers and ag retailers. And we do that by helping them adopt agronomic, economic, and environmentally sound practices on their operation that benefit the soil, the animals, the farm, and the environment and the local communities that they reside in. Truterra consults with farmers and companies in food and ag value chain to further sustainability goals and provide a farmer-friendly approach to conservation and agriculture. Everything we do is with the farmer at the center, backed by the network of ag retailers that they trust. And as a farmer myself, I'm familiar with the struggles to maintain profit and practice sustainability. And for me, technology was solution, and I know it is for many other farmers. And we look forward to continuing to be part of this solution as we work to create a suite of opportunities for farmers, ag retailers, and companies that have made sustainability commitments to advance agriculture into the next generation. So really appreciate the time, and stay tuned for further announcements from Truterra as we share our 2022 carbon program results and launch our new suite of programs for the 2024 crop season here later this summer, early fall.
Our thanks to Tom Ryan, president of Truterra, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by Bayer and their vision of health for all, hunger for none. Learn more at Bayer.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nally.